Lesson 1. To those needing healing. Before anyone can have a steadfast faith for the healing of their body, they must be rid of all uncertainty concerning God's will in the matter. Appropriating faith cannot go beyond one's knowledge of the revealed will of God. Before attempting to exercise faith for healing, one needs to know what the Scriptures plainly teach, that it is just as much God's will to heal the body as it is to heal the soul. The sermons in this series point out and explain those portions of Scripture which will forever settle this point for you. It is only by knowing that God promises what you are seeking that all uncertainty can be removed and a steadfast faith is made possible. His promises are each a revelation of what God is eager to do for us. Until we know what God's will is, there is nothing to base our faith on. It is important that the mind of those seeking healing be renewed so as to be brought into harmony with the mind of God as revealed in the Bible and pointed out in the following lessons. Faith for the appropriation of God's promised blessings is the result of knowing and acting on God's word. This is what we read in Romans 10, verse 17. The right mental attitude, or the renewed mind, as seen in Romans 12, 2, makes steadfast faith possible to all. There is a constant stream of testimonies coming from those who, though prayed for repeatedly without success, are afterwards wonderfully healed while studying these lessons. Many have also been happily converted while hearing these instructions. The truths discussed in this series, together with the prayer of faith, have brought healing within the grasp of many thousands of sufferers who could not have recovered without the direct action of the Holy Spirit. To God be all the glory. While we rejoice in these miracles, we remember that they are only external manifestations of a thousand times greater and more precious miracle which has transpired within the sacred chamber of the inner soul. The inner cause is so much more precious than the outward effect. External results from prayer are like figures in a bank book, which show that you have gold deposited in the bank. The gold is more valuable than the figures. Jesus said, "The word is the seed." It is the seed of the divine life. Until the person seeking healing is sure from God's word that it is God's will to heal him, he is trying to reap a harvest where there is no seed planted. It would be impossible for a farmer to have faith for a harvest before he was sure the seed had been planted. It is not God's will that there shall be a harvest without the planting of the seed, without his will being known and acted upon. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Freedom from sickness comes from knowing the truth. God does nothing without his word. He sent his word, and it healed him, are the words of the Holy Spirit in Psalm 107, verse 20. All his work is done in faithfulness to his promises. For each sick person to know that it is God's will to heal him is the seed which is to be planted in his mind and heart. It is not planted until it is known and received and trusted. No sinner can become a Christian before he knows that it is God's will to save him. It is the Word of God planted and watered and steadfastly trusted which heals both soul and body. The seed must remain planted and be kept watered before it can produce its harvest. For one to say, "I believe the Lord is able to heal me," before he knows from God's word that he is willing to heal him, is like a farmer saying, "I believe God is able to give me a harvest without any seed being planted and watered." God can't save the soul of a man before the man himself knows God's will in the matter, because salvation is by faith, that is, by trusting the known will of God. Being healed is being saved in a physical sense. Praying for healing with the faith-destroying words, "If it be thy will," is not planting the seed, it's destroying the seed. The prayer of faith which heals the sick is to follow and not precede the planting of the seed, or the word upon which alone faith is based. It is the gospel which the Holy Spirit says is the power of God unto salvation, in all its phases, both physical and spiritual. And all the gospel is for every creature and for all nations. The gospel does not leave a man in uncertainty, praying with an "if it be thy will." It tells him what God's will is. The Holy Spirit's words, "Himself bear our sicknesses," Matthew 8, verse 17, are just as truly a part of the gospel as his words, "Who his own self bear our sins on his own body on the tree," 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Neither the spiritual nor the physical phase of the gospel is to be applied by prayer alone. Seed is powerless until it is planted. Many, instead of saying, "Pray for me," should first say, "Teach me God's word so that I can intelligently cooperate for my recovery." We must know what the benefits of Calvary are before we can appropriate them by faith. David specifies, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." After being sufficiently enlightened, our attitude toward sickness should be the same as our attitude toward sin. Our purpose to have our body healed should be as definite as our purpose to have our soul healed. We should not ignore any part of the gospel. Our substitute bore both our sins and our sicknesses, that we might be delivered from them. Christ's bearing our sins and sicknesses is surely a valid reason for trusting him for deliverance from both. When in prayer we definitely commit to God the forgiveness of our sins, we are to believe on the authority of his word that our prayer is heard. We are to do the same when praying for healing. First, we must be sufficiently enlightened by the promises of God. Secondly, as commanded by Jesus in Mark 11:24, we simply believe our prayer is heard before we have yet experienced the answer. Thirdly, we can always bring to pass the fulfillment of any divine promise by the observance of Hebrews 10, verse 35 and 36. That is, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." It says in Hebrews 6, verse 11 and 12, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." It is God's will for every Christian to successfully practice this. Between the time we definitely commit to God the healing of our body, the actual completion of our healing, we can and should learn one of the most valuable lessons of our Christian life, and that is how to observe Hebrews 10, verse 35 and 36 that we just quoted. Only divine promises can make our faith steadfast. After Jonah had prayed for mercy, he did not cast away his confidence just because there was yet no visible proof that his prayer was answered. No, he held fast his confidence and added to it in advance the sacrifice of thanksgiving, Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. In Hebrews 13:15, the Holy Spirit commands us all to do this continually. God's promises work their wonders while we see and act on eternal realities, on his faithfulness, and refuse to be affected by temporal things to the contrary. God always fulfills his promises when he can get the right cooperation. He always accepts us and undertakes for us when we observe Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, and Mark 11, 24, where it says, "What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." "With long life will I satisfy him," is God's promise, to be appropriated by all, according to Psalm 91, verse 16. In the fourth chapter of Proverbs, from the 20th to the 22nd verses, we have most comprehensive instructions as to how to receive healing. Listen to it. "Attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." The word of God cannot be health to either soul or body before it is heard, received, and attended to. Notice here that the words of God are life only to those that find them. If you want to receive life and healing from God, take time to find the words of Scripture which promise these results. When God's word becomes health to all your flesh, your cancer will be gone, your tumor will be gone, your goiter will be gone. The word, when received and acted upon, will produce these results again and again. The flesh of thousands today is not healthy flesh because they have failed to find and attend to that part of God's word which produces healing. This is the divine method of receiving the blessings which God has provided for us. Many have failed to receive healing simply because they have not followed this method. God says that when we do, as we are told in Scripture, His words are made health to all our flesh. It does not matter what particular kind of unhealthy flesh, whether cancer, goiter, tumor, or anything else. God says, health to all their flesh. Whose flesh? To those who find and attend to the words of God on the subject. This is exactly the same way that the word of God becomes health to the soul. We cannot look two ways at once. In this comprehensive passage, God tells us exactly how to attend to His words. He says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Instead of having your eyes on your symptoms and being occupied with them, let not God's words depart from thine eyes. That is, look at them continually. Like Abraham, wax strong in faith by looking at the promises of God and at nothing else. As the only way seed can do its work is by being kept in the ground, so the only way that God's imperishable seed can effectively work in us is by its being kept in the midst of our hearts. This does not mean occasionally, but continuously. The reason why many have failed is because they have not done this. We must do as farmers do. When we attend unto God's word, not by letting them depart from before our eyes and by keeping them in the midst of our hearts, the seed is in good ground, the kind of ground in which Jesus says, it bringeth forth fruit, and where Paul says, it effectually worketh. When the farmer gets his seed into the ground, he doesn't dig it up every day to see how it's doing, but says, I'm glad that's settled, and believes that the seed has begun its work. Why not have the same faith in the imperishable seed, Christ's words, which he says are spirit and life? Believe that they are already doing their work without waiting to see. If the farmer, without any definite promise, can have faith in nature, why can't the Christian have faith in the God of nature? The psalmist says, thy word hath quickened me. Paul says that it is the word which effectually worketh in them that believeth. Every word of God is spirit and life, and will work in us when we receive and attend to it. When we receive and obey the word of God, we can say with Paul, the power of God worketh in me mightily. In this way, the word of God becomes the power of God. It is spirit and life. If a field in which the seed has been sown could talk to us, it would say, the seed worketh in me mightily. This passage in Proverbs shows us three essential things as the method of obtaining results from the promises of God's word. First, there must be the attentive ear. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. There must be the steadfast look. Let them not depart from thine eyes. There must be the enshrining heart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. When your eyes are upon your symptoms and your mind is occupied with them more than with God's words, you have in the ground the wrong kind of seed for the harvest that you desire. You have in the ground the seed of doubt. You're trying to raise one kind of crop with another kind of seed. It is impossible to sow tares and reap wheat. Your symptoms may point you to death, but God's word points you to life. You just cannot look in these opposite directions at the same time. The question is, which kind of seed do you have in the ground? Let not God's word depart from thy eyes. Keep it in the midst of thine heart. That is, look steadfastly and continuously, and only at the evidence God gives for your faith. God says to all incurables, every one that looketh shall live. The word looketh is the continuous present tense. It does not mean a mere glance, but it means, let his words not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. The motives that call for our attention are exceedingly powerful. It is our Heavenly Father who speaks. All heaven is behind his words. The things which are spoken are of quickening and invigorating virtue. They are life to such as find them, and health, not only to the soul, but to the body, not to a particular part of it, but to all their flesh. An effective medicine to cure a single part of the body might make the research scientist wealthy. Here's a medicine for all the flesh, from your head to your feet. Here's a physician of infinite ability who healeth all thy diseases. After you have planted your seed, you believe. It is growing before you see it grow. This is faith, which is the evidence of things not seen. In Christ we have perfect evidence for faith. Any man or woman can get rid of their doubts by looking steadfastly and only at the evidence which God has given for our faith. Seeing only what God says will produce and increase faith. This will make it easier to believe than to doubt. For the evidences for faith are so much stronger than those for doubting. Listen, don't doubt your faith. Doubt your doubts, for they are unreliable. What a blessing it is to look steadfastly to Christ. There is life and liberty, love, joy, guidance, wisdom, understanding, perfect health, in fact, everything. In a steadfast look at the crucified one, no one ever looks in vain to the great physician. Every one that looketh at the brazen serpent, the type of Christ, lived, and their faces were not ashamed, says the psalmist. They were all, humanly speaking, incurable, but they were both forgiven and healed by looking. He who trusts Christ has no need to be ashamed of his confidence. Time and eternity will both justify his faith. These studies will show those needing healing just what part of the Word of God they are to receive and to attend to. Some have miraculously been healed while hearing the next message in this series.